everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Coffee with Susie. Today, we're going to focus on 340B programs, and the 340B program in general doesn't seem to be mentioned much in pharmacy schools. I even remember as a student, I actually don't even remember coming across the word or the name, but it's a really great business opportunity for community pharmacies and a really great non-traditional career path for many pharmacists and technicians. To be honest, I've never heard of it, and I'm super excited to learn more about it as I have in the past couple of years, and really after coming across the two of you and everything that you do. So I'm really excited to have my two guests on today, and I am going to have them introduce themselves.
My name is Joanna Katravis. I am one of the founders with Lisa of the 340B Pharmacist Moms Group. I went to Mercer University in Atlanta, Georgia, go Bears. And after that, I was in retail. I did some MTMs, and then I moved into 340B. And that's what got me interested in this group. As Susie said, I had never heard of 340B. I think I did a week in one of my rotations where they threw the word around, and I didn't know anything about it. So I wanted to learn as much as I could so I could help our patients. And it was a fast growing process. It was one where I wanted to reach out to experts like Lisa here, make great connections. And from working as a director of pharmacy at a 340B, I have now moved over to the specialty side. I'm with Blue Sky Specialty Pharmacy, and we are working to grow our 340B contract services for entities.
Great.
Wow, Joanna, it's so funny. I think all of us have similar pathways when it comes to 340B. I too had never heard of 340B. In fact, going to pharmacy school, University of Houston, go Cougs, the pathway there, we learn Medicaid and Medicare, like I think a lot of us learn in pharmacy school. And I went into retail. And as a retail pharmacist, I would run into our county hospital patients that would come, and they would say, oh, I'm here to get my prescriptions filled. And I would fill them, and I would tell them the cost, and they'd say, I can't afford that. And I would call the hospital on the prescription because they would say, I'm supposed to use this card here. And we did not have such a thing. And what I learned, and I ended up actually going to work for that hospital, is they had a prescription discount program at the hospital. So all their patients, when they had prescriptions written, would go to their in-house retail pharmacies. So lo and behold, I took a job there. One of my friends worked at the hospital and said, you would like this place. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And I said, you're kidding, right? I was working right out of school, 60 to 70 hours a week, trying to pay off my student debt. And that job was like heaven on earth. I went, worked there, heard 340B, saw the prices, and I had a conniption fit. I said, oh my God, we're doing something wrong. How could this eye drop be 15 cents? And I'm not kidding you. And the staff all said, oh, it's 340B. And I said, I don't understand. What is that? And they said, oh, it's the PHS program. I said, you're not helping. What is the PHS program? And I did my own research. So back then, and this is over 20 years ago, dating myself, there were no 340B university courses to teach you 340B. There wasn't an online resource. Instead, I went to the federal regulation that was out and read the law. And I was like, oh my God, I really need help. And I ended up going to one of my first conferences, which was the 340B Coalition. And I learned how much I didn't know. And I'm a sponge. It's kind of just one of those skills that I've always had as a young kid. Tried to learn as much as I could and ended up going to an ASHP meeting because I worked at a hospital. And I got invited to a dinner. And I was like, oh, with HRSA? And I'm like, I've never heard of these people. And they're like, oh, they manage the 340B program. So I showed up at this meeting, talked to the director at the time, who was Jimmy Mitchell, and he said, you seem to know a lot about 340B. And I said, oh boy, not a whole lot, but I'm at a really big shop and we had an $80 million drug budget. And he said, we would really love for you to come on board and help other hospitals like you understand 340B. I took that opportunity and I actually was a consultant to them. Then about, I don't know, 2 years into doing that, they said, would you please come to Washington, D.C.? We'd like you to work for the Office of Pharmacy Affairs. So I did that. And what a great experience it was, because I got to meet so many different types of pharmacists, pharmacy technicians, non-pharmacy folks, to really help them understand and bridge a lot of those gaps. And then I went from working at the federal government to working for 340B Health as an association, and was their chief operating officer and chief pharmacy officer. And that experience led me to where I'm at today, which today I'm at a healthcare technology company called Sentry Data Systems. And I'm the senior vice president for industry relations. And I utilize all those relationships and continue to build more relationships. And Joanna and I met virtually, believe it or not. I was so happy to actually meet her in person when the world finally opened back up. But I think what we will all realize being in this industry is there are so many Joannas, Lisas, that when we come together, and our pharmacist moms 340B group has been a great demonstration of that, where people ask all kinds of questions and we learn from each other. So really looking forward to continuing to build that group and working with others.
No, that's great. Thank you both for the introductions. And I am telling all the listeners today, you're really with true leaders here today in this area. So I remember Joanna had sent me a message one night and she just said, you know, is there a 340B subgroup? Because we have all these other subgroups, you know, with the pharmacist moms. And I was like, no, there is not, but that's such a great idea. And then from that time, I mean, I can just let everyone else know, the group just blew up and exploded. But why don't you walk me through how the two of you met? Because I don't even think you knew each other prior to this, right?
We didn't. So when I joined, I was at Federal Healthcare Network in Charleston, South Carolina, and they had just hired me on as their director of pharmacy. And during the interview, they said, what do you know about 340B? I took a rotation for a week. And between the first and second interview, I went online and I did the Apexis University, the free one. So I came back for the interview. I asked all these questions and they were kind of looking at me like they hired me on the spot. And I get there and I thought, like, I put my toes in the water. It's like, okay, I know these terms. I think I got this. No, it's a huge topic and it's very complex. It's amazing. And I realized very quickly I was out of my depth. And you want to do right by these patients. We serve patients who have the most need, who don't get access to care and depend on these community health centers to get healthcare and medicine they wouldn't otherwise afford. So this is not something you take lightly. So that's when I reached out to you. I was like, hey, is there a group that we could get started? Or if it doesn't already exist, we can start one where, you know, I can't be the only one out here who doesn't really know what I'm doing. So Susie got us started. I got the group. And I think we initially had like 20 people. Lisa was one of the first ones, Lisa and Felicity. Felicity is another phenomenal 340B leader. And I'll be honest, Lisa, I started the group so I could basically ask you and Felicity questions, just straight down the post, question after question. I try to dilute it with other stuff, but I mean, that was the purpose. And I figured, again, I can't be the only one. And Lisa and I met virtually. We started talking, bouncing ideas off each other. And now we have 800 some.
It's over 800.
Over 800 members. And then we all met in person for the first time, because all this started during COVID, by the way. Like, I think we started the group right as like COVID hit. So we had never met each other in person. So we went to the 340B conference in San Diego in February, and we had like a little breakout session with our group. And that's when we got to meet everyone in person. And it was so much fun. So that's my story of how I got to meet Lisa. I'm sure she has her version.
Yeah, no, similar version, except, you know, one of the things about me, I love helping people in this space, because my experience, similar to Joanna's, when I worked in the health system where we had 340B and the patients we served, I served patients through Hurricane Katrina, where we opened up pharmacies. I saw what this program was able to do. And so when I run into people like Joanna, I gravitate towards them, because I want them to continue to keep the program operating. Because when you have the knowledge and you share that knowledge versus, oh, it's mine, I'm going to keep it to myself. No, this is a program where we are better when we're all in it together and we're kind of moving forward and we're learning from each other. Even I learn stuff every day. I'm learning more now because the program keeps changing. Technology changes. People's interpretation of what the technology is capable of doing today versus tomorrow is a constant evolution. And that's without the program actually having rules or law or judicial decisions made. It is just constantly evolving.
Oh, amazing. I'm learning so much just listening today too, but the group, I just see the activity because we have a lot of subgroups, but this group, I just saw that it blew up and it's very active as well. So there are conversations happening. And, you know, for those people who are listening that maybe haven't even heard the term 340B yet, but they're interested in a non-traditional career, what advice do you have for them?
Lisa, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, definitely step in because, yeah, I mean, I get asked quite a bit. I'm a pharmacist, you know, and I always tell people my foundation is as a pharmacist. So they go, oh, what do you do? And then I say, oh, I never say, oh, I work in 340B. Because when I say, oh, I work in 340B, I get, you're in financial management now for like a 403B. And I'm like, no. And so essentially, I think that non-traditional role, I was able to develop that from having the traditional. So I take a lot of my foundation, my upbringing from the learning the basics in pharmacy school to practicing in retail and really understanding what pharmacy's capabilities are has allowed me to really expand outside of that and have a lot of opportunities that I think a non-traditional route really has given me great gratification where I'm still using my skills, but I think it's just being able to be in a different setting and having the respect of being a pharmacist. Like in a technology company, I am one of 8 out of 400 and some odd employees that's a pharmacist. So when we're talking patient care and we're talking about what our potential is for what do we do with 340B, they go to the pharmacist and they say, okay, wait, I know you're in this different kind of role here, but we really, you know, still lean on some of that foundational parts of it.
I would say as long as you are a pharmacist and are willing to learn, you can do 340B. As both Lisa and I mentioned, we had no experience in it when we first did it. And the exciting thing about 340B is there's no one size fits all. You can be an expert in pharmacy software management and be able to work in 340B. You could be a math nerd with a PharmD and go work on the financial side. You could just love counseling patients and be able to explain to this patient how you're able to get his Xarelto for $1 and why he should use a soft bristle toothbrush. You can do all of it. And that's what I love the most about it. You get the chance to use your skills that you took in pharmacy school that you've used, whether it's retail, whether it's clinical, whether you have that's not a CDE anymore, but whether you have all these additional skills, you can use them with 340B because in the end, it's pharmacy. It's just accessible and affordable pharmacy. And yeah, if you're willing to learn how to use those laws and rules around 340B, you can take the skills you already have and the gift that you bring to your patients and just give it to more people.
Yeah, definitely. Amazing. You both are doing amazing things. Is there anything that maybe I don't know enough about that I'm not asking? Because I don't know enough about any of this. So, what am I missing?
So to your point, I think we should probably explain what 340B is because people are listening. They're like, what is this? What is this? Alphabet soup. Yeah. So as the newer person, I will explain it the way I have learned it and kind of boil it down to its most basics. 340B are steeply discounted drugs. So back in 1992, a law was passed and the section of it was 340B that allowed certain health centers access to steeply discounted drugs in order to take federal resources like federal grants, donations and stretch them to the furthest extent possible. So what does this mean? I always like to use the example of a patient who's walking into a CVS and then walking into a 340B pharmacy. What you're going to have is they both have insurance. They go in and they are going to get Xarelto. The CVS is going to charge, let's say, the copay is $200. And Xarelto is expensive. The pharmacy, they buy the Xarelto for $100. The other $100 they keeps the lights on, right? The patient walks into the clinic, that's 340B. Their copay may be $200, but that clinic did not buy the drug for $100. They bought it for 15 cents. So they still get reimbursed the same amount the CVS did. But now all of a sudden they have this extra funds. So what do they use it for? Maybe that patient can't afford the copay. In our clinic, we had one where we were able to cover $199 of that copay and the patient paid $1. It may go to buying a mobile mammography unit so you can go out to rural areas and give health access to women. It can be used to hire more MAs. So you have these steeply discounted drugs that on the one hand, you can capture funds from insurance that allow you to fund your center. But then on the other hand, if the patient doesn't have insurance, that Xarelto was still 15 cents. So this patient, wherever else they may have gone, they probably wouldn't have been able to get their Xarelto. But whether it's 15 cents or you're taking some of the funds you capture from another patient, you waive the cope, you pay for it entirely, you have these funds, these patient help accounts, all of a sudden patients are getting medications. Now that is the patient forward view of 340B. And where Lisa goes, how does it sound legal? It's manufacturers are required, if they want to have their medications on Medicare, Medicaid formulary, to offer these medications, their medications at these steeply discounted prices. So manufacturers voluntarily offer much lower priced medicines to health clinics to access them so that our most vulnerable patients have access to healthcare where they may not have already.
Yep. So I think, Susie, I think the premise for 340B all started many, many years ago. And I think what I feel is important sharing, not only the basics, like Joanna said, is why it was designed, what its intent was. I always preface with people, it's not like Medicaid and Medicare, which are patient assistance programs, right? Those go directly to a patient. They see them, they feel them, they know when they walk into the pharmacy, they have, you know, so much of their prescriptions are either covered or there's a discounted rate that's applied for them. 340B is not a patient assistance program. It is a entity assistance program. So it was designed for the health center. It was designed for Ryan White facilities. It was designed for certain hospitals that serve a disproportionate share of low-income patients. And how those entities stretch the scarce resources, they do it differently. So I love the fact that Joanna said, we were able to help some people completely cover their copays. But in other scenarios, you know, hospitals and health systems and community health centers, they are constantly looking at their communities and they're doing kind of like needs assessment, going, what is our population need in our community? And oftentimes you'll find, well, our patient population is highly diabetic, or we've got uncontrolled hypertension. Everybody has different things, and those health systems then design programs, or they get equipment. You know, they get mammography machines. There's different things and all of that. While the patient doesn't say, oh, that's my mammography machine, it's no, you now have access to a mammography machine that was not available within a 50-mile radius previously. You now have that. And I think that is what makes it so challenging when we talk with a larger stakeholder group. So if you were to bring in, Susie, a manufacturer who's a pharmacist, works in the same space with us, their perception of the program would be very different than how Joanna and I see 340B, because of we're seeing it through the eyes of the patients we've affected, the communities we've affected, and the manufacturer says, wait a minute, we want it to go to the patient. And we say, well, wait a minute, it is. So one of the things the program is going through right now is some hardships. Hardships in interpretation of the program and what its original intent was. I will tell you, I always say to folks, there is constant revisionist history in 340B, which means people are trying to rewrite it and go, oh, no, it was created in 1992 to help low-income patients. No, not exactly. It was created to stretch scarce federal resources so that communities that Joanna participated in and I participated in could do more and serve more patients. So it's a very different interpretation. So I always, I love to talk to people like that because I just came from a meeting this week where I had a conversation with a panelist afterwards that said, hey, I noticed you said the program was created for this, but I really would like to share with you why it really was created, because I was around then and I'm still here and I will continue to be that voice. But I do think there's, the collaboration that comes between working with the manufacturers, with the covered entities, and all of the other stakeholders that carry this program out. Wholesalers play a huge role. Pharmacies, whether they be retail pharmacies, specialty pharmacies, independent pharmacies, all of those stakeholders come together and we do really amazing things. And at the end of the day, for patients. And I think that's the beauty of 340B.
No, I love it. And I just love how it's really expanded the role of the pharmacist. I mean, you're talking about educating different stakeholders and just so many different things that a pharmacist can do.
Yes.
Absolutely. In the non-traditional sense too, because I know so that's the buzzword, right? And everyone's looking for the non-traditional role. And I think, right here, you have it, everyone listening today. It's, I would recommend joining your group and reaching out and, learning more. But before we end today's show, I always ask every guest on the show to share a personal photo or any photo that they'd like to share. And so we are going to show it. And I ask each of you to describe your photo. I don't know, Joanna, if you want to go first.
Sure. Oh man, I can't remember. My photo, it's of my husband and I. We were, the photo we use, it's at a venue where we were going to get married. We got married this past October, and we actually had a friend's wedding at the same venue that we were getting married a month before. So, we scouted out a little bit, but that's my husband, Ryan, and he works with startups, and he's the reason I kind of got into 340B to a degree and also into Blue Sky. They were non-traditional for me. And I was always a very traditionally minded person. You go to pharmacy school, you go work retail, you go this. So I was like, I don't know. This seems a little, I was hesitant. He goes, no, dive in. It's going to be great. Learn something new. And here we are. I dived into Fetter. I've dived into Blue Sky Specialty Pharmacy. It's been some of the best decisions I've ever made. And I got to give him some credit for that.
No, amazing. It's amazing because, you start pharmacy school with one thing in mind. I know even myself, I just thought I was going to be working for that same chain pharmacy that I was a tech at. And I did not think I'd be doing what I'm doing today. So I can definitely relate to that as well. But and kudos to your husband as well to pushing you over to try something new. So, and Lisa, do you want to describe your photo?
Yeah, so my photo is an interesting photo. It's my hair has obviously changed colors over the years. It's a little more gray now. My photo is of my parents, who have been super supportive of me from a very young age. I was kind of like came from what I'll call a non-traditional family, and that my parents were very young, 17 when they had me. And my mom wasn't able to go to school traditionally. She waited until she went to school after having kids. And my father was the first in the family to go to college. So when I graduated, I think I was part of their success of saying, look, young people can get married, have babies, and look, we have a doctor. And so the award I'm holding is an award they gave me. At the reception when we graduated, we had a nice dinner, and it was the Kavila Family Award, which was for me finishing pharmacy school, and they were just so proud that I had that accomplishment, and everything I am today, I always go back to them as my foundation, because they know how to get through hard times. They've raised kids. They understand all the complications that come with having families. And that's really centered me and grounded me, that having my own family and being non-traditional in my own sense, I have six children, two beautiful girls, one's a pharmacist, and one is an attorney. And you can imagine my husband is a pharmacist. So we make a really interesting dinner conversation with an attorney who's always like, y'all are so boring. But I think family is super important. And just like Joanna said, you know, having a supportive husband pushed her. I have that, and I'm very fortunate. I have moved all over because my husband has allowed us to move everywhere. He's been like, it's your career. I want you to have as strong of a career as you can. I will follow you. And he has done that now twice. So family, wow. I think for all of us, it keeps things real. It keeps us centered and grounded, because we all have very complicated jobs. I mean, I don't care if you are in retail, hospital, you're a non-traditional pharmacist, work is hard, life is harder. And if you have a good, strong family foundation, you can move all kinds of mountains.
Amazing. I got goosebumps actually from your story. So amazing. And I really appreciate you both being on the show today. And if anyone has questions, where can they find you?
They can find us on Facebook. I can give you our contact info. I'm happy to answer any questions at any point, or give you pointers on where to go for 340B. But yeah, just it's the 340B Pharmacist Moms page. We go through all of the requests to join. We do vet. We want to make sure we're not letting, it's a safe space. So we make sure everyone who joins is in a safe space with us. So if you want to join, we will be happy to accept you.
But like Joanna said, the 340B Pharmacist Moms group is a great way to connect with us and others. I think that's the whole purpose of having that group. But we're on social media, we're email, you name
LinkedIn.
It. I will tell you, I always tell everyone, courier pigeon, if you can't find us through, you know, the traditional routes, we really would love to connect and look forward to building the relationships and making the group even stronger.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
We couldn't do this without you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Building the amazing infrastructure and connecting us all, because I said it earlier on, together we are stronger, and we are so much stronger because of your efforts.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Thank you.